This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on Captain America the Winter Soldier. Welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on Captain America the Winter Soldier. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Paul Montgomery.
Hello, America and the world.
And joining us, guest hosting this week, tagging in for Josh Flanagan, is Jeff Cannata.
I am going to do my best. I'm a sad substitute for Josh, but I will do my best.
We've known Jeff for a long time. Jeff hosts DLC. He hosts Newest Latest Best. You may have known him from Totally Rad Show. He's everywhere. Or his many guest appearances in many other podcasts.
He was on an iFanboy, I believe.
Yeah, way back.
The video show interviewing Stan Lee, right?
Yes, way back with Stan Lee, correct.
That was claim to fame, I think.
Out of my head.
One of the great moments of my life, indeed. Meeting Stan the man.
And Jeff and I have been very secret Marvel movie buddies. We always
end up
at the same Los Angeles press screenings.
You arrive separately and just telling what about clandestine.
Avengers, Thor, Captain America. So we tend to do that. And I thought, why haven't I had him on the show yet to talk about it? So this was the perfect chance because I feel like he and I had a very similar reaction to this film.
And I'm also a huge, huge fan of iFanboy. I listen to you guys give me my recommendations every week and dig the site. So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you very much. So quick warning, this is a review show, so there'll be spoilers. If you haven't seen Captain America Winter Soldier, you don't want to spoil, and you don't, because there's a bunch of twists and turns here that we're going to talk
Bucky.
About.
It's Bucky.
We're going to get to that a bit, too, which is the marketing for this has been strange.
His face is just dirty, but he's Bucky. Don't worry.
So, you know, well, it's too late now. I was going to say pause the show, but Paul ruined it for you.
If
so.
You're listening to the show and you haven't seen, you want spoilers.
That's right, everybody. So. Robert Redford is Bucky.
Which is, he can do anything. So this was the sequel to a film, and I hadn't realized how long ago the first one was, but it was 3 years ago, the last Captain America.
Sounds about right.
Well, so many of these keep coming out, and it's the same story, and I don't realize how long ago these individual pieces are, but this is the latest in that Marvel Cinematic Universe tapestry, and in this film, Steve Rogers is now a full-fledged part of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's an operative, and he's adjusting to life in the modern world. This is really the story I think a lot of people were looking forward to ever since the ending of the first Captain America movie. We saw bits and pieces of it in the Avengers movie, but really, this is where we get to the meat and potatoes of Cap in the modern world. And
he has an apartment. He has his own washer-dryer in there.
He should feel lucky about it. But I'm going to just go out and say that I thought this was the best Marvel movie and maybe the best comic book movie since The Dark Knight.
Whoa.
I
think it's number two to The Avengers for me personally, but yeah, it's up there and one of the great superhero films of all time as far as
I think Avengers will still win for me as a spectacle, you know, like I love it. I watch it all the time. But to me, as a like a film, a story, and a you know construction of it, I thought this was a better story. But I don't want to get to that because I think they're both great films. But this blew me away.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
This?
No. I liked it quite a bit. There are some things keeping it from that eagle's nest that you have it at. So
wow, we'll get into. I'm that. Surprised.
So Jeff, what did you love about this?
Pretty much everything. I'm so excited to be on this particular show talking about it because most of the outlets that I talk on, people are like, oh my God, I'm such superhero fans. It's like, yeah, well, because you've been watching the movies, not because you grew up and you were 8 and you imagined a world in which there were superhero movies, but that world seemed impossible and, right. And you can't – and the fact that we're living in that world now and it's almost exactly as I wished it to be. Like, oh my gosh, they're going to start – see, they start with a Captain America movie back in the 40s and then he falls into ice and then in the Avengers movie they find him. Like that has happened. I still can't get over the fact that that has happened.
It's still pretty thrilling to see, you know, on the black screen in white after the final coda, you know, Captain America will return in, Iron Man will return in.
Right.
I love that moment.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And the fact that this is all working out so well is just – I just want to take a moment and acknowledge that and how joyous I am. And the fact that I think it's inherently easier to create superhero movies when they are origin stories because right. Superhero origin stories are a great – an easy idea to wrap your head around and they have a clear three-act structure and you know how to make that movie, right? But the fact that Marvel seems to be knocking it out of the park with these non-origin story movies I think is so exciting to me. And the fact that I think that this Captain America movie is better than the first Captain America movie, which I thought was excellent as well. And it assumes that you know everything
right.
about this character mm-hmm. and this universe. And the fact that they get away with so many ridiculous comic book tropes that we all as comic book readers get, but that the general public seems to just take for granted. Like, yeah, dude has a metal arm. Cool. I'm down. No explanation.
Is that for his body? No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Is he's going to be, 80 years old and yet somehow stayed young? Well, yeah, there's a scientist who did some stuff on him. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, it's like, it's great that they can get away with that stuff and they don't have to shy away from it. Mm, and right. And Connor, when you say –
they're not ashamed of it at all.
Right. I love that. And when you say like, you know, best movie since The Dark Knight, I love The Dark Knight movies. I love them. All of Nolan's films, even the third one, which was not that great, but still loved it. But all of those movies are sort of an apology. Like yes. They're sort of like, here's superheroes, but – don't worry about it. We're really grounding it in the real world and we're going to sort of whitewash all this silly stuff and Marvel is like, fuck you. We're doing it. You know, like we're making cosmic crazy crap. We're doing all the stuff that comic book fans have been loving their whole life. And part of the thing I love most about this movie in particular is how many little details, so many little Marvel-y details are in there that I just geek out over and I love that are in there. Like just how people move, mm-hmm. how Cap uses his shield, how he fights. The fact that he's not wearing his Avengers costume in this movie. Like it's very costume specific, you know? And yeah. he's wearing his shield costume in this movie. And then there's a big deal at the end with him getting back in the World War II costume. Like that's
– which was amazing. I love that.
So awesome. And like all that stuff as a comic book fan is so important to me. Yeah. So anyway, so that all those are little details. But I think the movie works really well just from a story perspective. The characters – Marvel knows that these characters need to be fun to be around. They're funny. Where I was laughing a lot in this movie and they're charming. It still has that sort of Joss Whedon-esque Avengers dialogue style that I enjoy. Anyway, I'll let you guys talk.
I want to reframe what I said about Dark Knight and say specifically why I compare those films, because I thought this was the most intricately plotted, dark but without being dark Warner Brothers, but also had something to say about the real world. And I haven't seen that really since The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
In that
– yeah, you know, it's – It's a movie with America in the title, and it doesn't shy away from being about America. It's about the things that are in the zeitgeist right now for our country.
I was shocked about. That's really what was impressed me, was that America is almost the bad guy. And it's not America, but the complex, the military industrial complex, yeah, and spying and militarization is right. All – I mean, Paul, I think you're going to say that the villain was lacking, but okay. I'm just guessing. But
do you have an algorithm that tells you why?
Well, because you mentioned something before, and that's triggered it. But the bad guy isn't so much Loki or Red Skull. It's this organization that has grown up around fear and military distrust, and that's really what he's fighting against. It's not so much Baron Strucker, which was awesome. We'll get to that, but it's. He's fighting against that moment in that trailer where he says, this is not freedom, it's fear. That's the villain. The Hydra is the villain ostensibly, but really it's that culture that's grown up around fear. And that's what he's trying to break. He's the guy from the 40s going, hey, whoa, what's going on here? and that was, I thought was great about it. It was audacious enough to make that the bad guy, the government, the bad guy.
Okay.
Which was always the best Cap stories in the comics
too. That's my point of contention. I really enjoy this. I got a real kick out of this and was smiling through much of it. The one disappointment for me was that I thought that that's what they were doing, but I felt like Hydra, being so ingrained into S.H.I.E.L.D. was a bit of a cop out. It wasn't just corruption. It was, there are secret Nazis here. It's, you know, existent in this organization that we thought was so good.
Pretty sure that was a plot point. Wasn't that a plot point in the Brubaker story, was that Hydra had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah. I preferred it. I mean, there were inklings of this in The Avengers, with Cap butting heads with Nick Fury, and what are you going to do with the Tesseract, and what kind of studies are you doing exactly, and what are your plans for that? And I thought they – having them turn into sort of complete black hats.
But it wasn't sort of, all of them. It was the Hydra group.
I still think that there was a lot of shades of gray with regard to Nick Fury in particular. Like he fights against the real black hats, but he's not exactly a white hat.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't trust him for a second for anything.
Yeah. I think Cap has realized that about Nick Fury. It's like, you know, you can say you stand up for freedom, but if
he was all too happy to deploy those
exactly
the helicarriers out there, and so the story is that S.H.I.E.L.D. is secretly developing these helicarriers, which are armed to the teeth and look like Star Destroyers, and they're going to seek out the threats before they happen, which Cap is not happy about. And Nick Fury is on board with that. This isn't before we even find out Hydra's involved. And the story unfolds, and Black Widow's heavily involved. I think she was great, and Falcon shows up, and I thought he was great. But the story involves that we find eventually that Hydra, since the World War II, since Cap, quote-unquote, won and beat them in the war, has actually been slowly infiltrating the government and has taken over S.H.I.E.L.D. At least there's a core part of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's actually Hydra agents who've been running things, and that's how they've become more militarized and bad, ostensibly, and then that all breaks up and fights happen. But that's the real twist of this. And the Winter, if any kind of negative would be the Winter Soldier in the title isn't so much a huge factor in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like the next movie could have been called The Winter Soldier. You know, it seems like they're really setting up the next movie to be that.
But I love the internal struggle aspect of it. I thought once the moment where it turns and Nick Fury becomes a target, and I thought that great sequence with the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's boxed in and he has to get his way out. I thought it was a wonderful sequence. Once that happens, the movie goes into overdrive. But for me, I couldn't get enough of it.
I think the better subtitle would be Captain America: 3 Days of the Falcon instead of 3 Days of the Condor. Because I did enjoy the ambition of taking a superhero movie. And even though it does have crazy ideas like Hydra, and there is a dude with a monocle by the end of this movie, and Arnim Zola, for Christ's sakes, with a computer face, they're still doing a political thriller, and that's pretty cool that they're branching out and taking on things like that and doing, you know, a Star Wars story with Guardians of the Galaxy next, and who knows where they're going to go with all their movies.
It's just, it's brilliant of them that they know that each of these characters can have its own genre. I think that's
even
so
Iron Man
smart.
3 was very different from the other Iron Mans and the other films as well. I think the second wave has been very sort of experimental even.
Yeah.
The kind of stories they can tell. So, Paul, what did you like about it? If that was the part that got you, what was it that really you enjoyed?
I love the introduction and the book ending with Falcon, with bringing in Sam and his friendship with Steve. And I love that Steve is carrying around a little notebook and making a list of things that he needs to catch up on in the modern day. That's a great runner. Yeah. And when they're in Arnim Zola's lair and he's talking to Black Widow, it's all movie references. I've already seen it. He must be so tired of those conversations where people are condescending to him, talking down to him, saying, oh, this was a popular movie back in the '80s or something, you know? For me, it made me crave a Black Widow movie or a Falcon movie, because I think they're such well realized characters.
They did such a great job.
I love these three together. It's a great little ensemble.
Yeah,
I love the Black Widow Captain America relationship. I thought it was very interesting in that it was a little flirty, but not flirty. It was a little there was a little bit of tension, but
they feel like friends.
They feel like friends, but also like. They don't quite know. There's like a 10% attraction there, but it's not that kind of relationship. Yeah. You know, she flirts with him, but doesn't really. I feel like she looks at him and can't see someone she can't control like other men. She doesn't fall for her games. And so that intrigues her, but not to the point where she's actually interested, but it intrigues her because she doesn't know why it doesn't work.
And they've both seen so much, and they're kind of old souls.
So it's not like a typical will they, won't they thing, but there is a little bit of that in there because I felt like it was she can't treat him like other men. And I liked that a lot. He doesn't fall for those games. But he also, recognizes she's very attractive, like in the scene talking about her in a bikini. But I liked their relationship quite a bit. I thought she was great. I thought Scarlett Johansson was really good in this.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that – I can't remember the guy's name. The guy who played Falcon he's just fantastic. Each of the scenes he was in, I felt like he was a real three-dimensional guy and you instantly likable and – just charming and great, and you were rooting for him. It was such a – we had such a short amount of time to really get to know that guy, and yet it worked.
Yeah, I was like, how are they going to work in the wings? Like, I didn't know if that – so making it a pre-existing thing where he had a relationship where he was involved in these operations.
He didn't have to learn how to fly the wings.
He didn't have to learn how to fly them.
That was nice.
Yeah, and we didn't even need to see the mission where they go break them out. It's just like, oh, it's in this thing. Like, yeah, no problem. And then we cut to, like, they've already got it. Like, no big deal.
There are a lot of moments like that where they mention scenes and we don't go through all of the groundwork. Kidnapping the one S.H.I.E.L.D. guy and putting him in the van. He's like, well, you're going to go around the corner and get in this car, and then you just skip right to the roof. Like, it's very lean in that way.
It was great. I thought that was great.
And that was interesting. That Jasper Sitwell is the character that ties it to the show. He is he's showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a few times. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. later on, how this affects that. But that was the moment where it sort of crossed over, and that was the link between the two. And he turns out to be a Hydra agent as well. I thought they also did a good job of integrating. I mean, there's a lot of players on the board here. We had Agent 13 who did not have a big role, but I thought she was good.
Surprised at how small that role was. But
Maria Hill, I thought her parts were good. I mean, she was in only a little bit, but I thought she was great at the end, especially sort of coordinating the entire battle.
Yeah,
you had Crossbones, but in his civilian guise of Brock Rumlow.
He was very good. I thought
everyone should know he's evil with that name, but he was
Batroc. Batroc
the Leaper, and they had a lot of elements in this movie. I thought they juggled them very well. One of the things Marvel does really well is juggle a lot of characters and make sure they all have their moment. And they did it really well, I thought.
One of the things that I brought up in my video interview that I did on my YouTube channel of this is that I couldn't help throughout the entire thing comparing this to Man of Steel. Because I was – I don't know how you guys felt about that movie, but I was so disappointed in it.
You shouldn't mention it. It makes us angry.
Yeah. No,
it was heartbroken.
Yeah, it's a complete failure as far as I'm concerned. But I really feel like this is a lesson in how to do Superman. I mean, you have basically the same type of guy. You have this Boy Scout character who Marvel figured out how to make him work in a modern day setting. Yes, he's a man out of time, but so you have an alien with Superman, so it could be the same type of thing. And he's so charming and grounded and funny.
Good.
earnest. Yeah. And one of my favorite things about this movie is that he, at the end, he fights until the point at which people are safe. And then he stops and he's like, I'm not going to fight you anymore. Mm-hmm. Because he will do whatever is necessary to protect people. And then once he's got that covered, then he can be personal. And I just thought that was so brilliant. It's like, that's exactly what Superman should be. It's prioritize the safety of humanity. You know what right. I mean? And I just thought that worked so well to have Cap go, you know what? I'm not fighting you. Kick the crap out of me if you want, dude. But people are safe. I put those things in there. I don't want to have to do that, but I will do whatever's necessary to you to save them. I just thought that worked so well.
I think what's so crucial with it, and this is where Warner Brothers sort of went overboard, is trying to give him something of an edge so he's not entirely milquetoast and boring. And I think they accomplished that, where he feels like I'm the oldest man in the room. I have the experience. I'm not necessarily going to talk down to you, but I'm not going to let you talk down to me either because I'm a fossil. I've been through everything. His confrontation with Batroc, where, you know, Batroc is let down by the fact that he keeps using his shield. He's like, well, let's see what I can do without the shield. And he puts it on his back.
Yeah. He's not corny, but he's genuine and he's noble and he's all those things that you want in a superhero, especially a superhero like Superman or Captain America, but without going over the edge of being like feeling outdated and corny.
It's the guy that Tom Brokaw is always talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think also we should applaud Chris Evans because I was a little skeptical when I first heard about the casting news way back when, and I thought the first movie really proved him. But this one, I think even more, he's just fantastic in the part.
He has a great mix of humor and humility, which is crucial to Captain America. Yeah. And you believe it. You believe it. And it's pretty hard. I mean, this was always going to be the hardest role to cast of all these Avengers. Mm-hmm. Because before those reasons we just talked about. But you believe him. I think he's great. Let's talk about Winter Soldier a bit, because he was not for a character in the title, he wasn't in it as much as you would have thought. But I thought he was a good menacing character. I thought when he and Cap fought, it was great because clearly they were sort of mirror images of each other. And I thought those were great hand to hand combat scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this is weird. Let's talk about the marketing for a second, because the twist in the movie itself is it's revealed that Winter Soldier is Bucky. And if you've read the comics, obviously you know that, but people who haven't wouldn't. And in our screening, there was some gasps in the back. I don't know. I was sitting in the back and Jeff was in the middle. And I actually heard someone say, no way, aisle.
I like that happened.
But if you look, they've been trotting him out with Chris Evans at every photo op. And he was at the ringing of the bell stock exchange, and
watching that stuff.
No, but they seem to be making there's no effort to hide the fact that this is who he is. And I don't think they don't need to, but it's just strange to me because that is a point in the movie where you don't know who he is for a long time.
It feels like a case of hiding in plain sight. Like they're not going out of their way to hide it, to the detriment of marketing the film and letting the actor go out there and promote it. But they're not necessarily in your face, I don't think, with saying it's Bucky to the vast majority of audiences. Right. So it's going to surprise some people. But I also don't think it hurts that we know. There are other surprises for us for sure, even if we already know that it's Bucky.
Right.
Like hearing Stephen Strange mentioned.
That was rad.
Well, I thought, okay, they're definitely doing Doctor Strange in the next wave then. I mean, I know somebody used to work at Marvel, and that was the intimation they made, but that was basically the confirmation that they're definitely doing that one next.
Well, they're talking about they got plans till, 2028 in the article that went out this week? That's crazy.
Wow.
Just that number. Even though we live in 2014, it still sounds like when you say 2014 to me, even 2014,
Blade Runner.
Not 2020, yeah, it should be Blade Runner. As we were, walking around with the lit up umbrella things,
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So this movie ends, S.H.I.E.L.D. is splintered, it's done, it's over. Captain America is a little disillusioned. Winter Soldier is on the fence about who he is and who he should be fighting. And Crossbones is still alive. And we've introduced Agent 13, I think they're basically setting up the death of Captain America storyline for the third movie. and then the Bucky cap going forward, because
they have all the ingredients. Yeah,
they have all the ingredients in place. I asked this person I know what their plans were. Were they going to be rebooting these movies? Because obviously Chris Evans is going to play Captain America forever. Also, he doesn't really want to act anymore. And you know, you've got the same problem with Tony Stark and et cetera. They said, no, we're, you know, there's things in place for these characters to be reborn without rebooting. And basically one way to do that is to have Bucky become Cap. That's what I think is going to do for three.
It does have a multi-picture deal from what we've heard. Sebastian Stan, I mean.
Right.
So they could easily do, they have all the ingredients to do that. It's also interesting. I like where the, even though we don't get a whole lot of Winter Soldier for a movie to be called Winter Soldier, I like where they leave the character.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was expecting, since they showed him sort of breaking through his programming and remembering things, I thought, oh, they're going to clean this up by the end and he's, you know, going to be brought into the fold. That's not the case. He's going to be out there on his own and he's figuring things out. And as we saw in the little coda at the end of the credits, he's investigating who he was. And what he does with that is interesting. So it's I like that they were pretty ambitious with this, but they weren't so crazy as to try and tell that entire story in one movie.
Right.
I really appreciate that they can bring that over into Captain America 3, because of course they're going to have a Captain America 3.
Well, that's what's so wonderful about these Marvel movies at this point now, this whole wave 2, is there such a confidence. Like we don't have to rush anything. We've got time. We've got multiple movies. We've got multiple franchises. It's very confident. It's very confident in what we can show you, what elements we can bring into stuff, and how things can relate to other things. It's fantastic to watch.
Yeah, and I remember thinking that in the middle of this movie, thinking, geez, they did it again. Like,
yeah,
they've done it again. And it's with two directors who really only had film experience, I mean, TV experience. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't know it. And I love the fact that a lot of it was practical. Obviously, there was giant helicarriers and things, but there was a lot of car stuff that was real car practical scenes. It felt very grounded. And, you know, everyone talked about the 70s spy feel from the trailer, and that's the feel they were going for, as much as you can through the lens of a Marvel superhero movie.
Yeah.
But adding Robert Redford in was really, really helped, you know, foster that feeling. And I thought, you know, he's got a small role too, but he added a level of gravitas to the whole thing, which really
worked. It's not as small a role as I assumed it would be. I heard Robert Redford's going to be in it, and I figured, oh, he's not going to do anything too ridiculous. But he does some comic booky stuff. You know, he twists the mustache a little bit in this movie. And I thought, wow, that's kind of awesome that
he's got an app on his phone that blows people up.
Yeah. Why isn't your first move to take that lapel off your shirt?
But I thought he was great. I mean, you know, he's – at first, it was a little incongruous to see him in a film like this. And I don't know why, but it just is. But I thought, I love Robert Redford just to begin with, but he was really good. I loved his scenes with Nick Fury. I liked that they had a history, and that was fun. I thought this was the Marvel cast the movie very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've had a major misstep, at least in my opinion, yet with a major character. But they just do
Edward
such a
Norton
good job.
Would be the only, I would say.
Yeah, people forget that movie even existed, and I do sometimes too. But I think this has been really strong. Now, let's talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. for a second. You guys no longer watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it has gotten way better lately. But
I have 10 of them on my DVR, so I'm intending to catch up at some point.
I plan to revisit them at some point. But
so this week's episode. So what they did this week was they had Jasper Sitwell, the turncoat agent, in the episode. Then he got called off to go on that boat in the middle of the show.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. Has that ever happened before, that a TV show interacts
really.
With film?
Wow.
Friend? Oh, that's amazing.
With such immediacy, too.
Yeah.
And then so the whole thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is they have the post-credits. And I'm using air quotes, but you can't see. The post-credits scene. And in this one, it was just a scene from the movie. Actually, it was... Oh, wow. It was Nick Fury being attacked, which didn't really work because the quality of the film was different and the aspect ratio is different. But but so now S.H.I.E.L.D. has been disbanded, discarded, and then you've got a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see going forward what they're going to do. And then the preview for next week's show showed a lot of internal strife and things like that. So I think that's going
to
be...
Didn't it seem to you guys that they were kind of setting up Secret War a little bit?
I could see that.
Bendis's version of that?
Maybe. Yes.
And that's if you know, the end with Fury, I don't know why he has to destroy his eye patch. When he's, you know, going in the hoodie and everything,
right.
He's going to go over into Europe. Like that's the Nick Fury that we saw in Marvel not so long ago, like in Civil War, where he's like in underground bunkers and stuff.
Well, Secret War set up Civil War, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
That could be where they're headed. It could be.
Kind of dig that.
That's crazy to even contemplate that. But
right.
Because I feel like I've gotten my fill of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like I've seen enough of it. I'd like to see some other things because sometimes it, you know, like with Iron Man 2, like it encroaches on stuff and it takes over the movie in a way. And so I'm
not even worried about Iron Man 2.
That yeah, I know.
I'm so happy that a Captain America movie was this sort of intense and dark. And not dark in that Man of Steel way, but just sort of dark and real. Yeah. I'm really impressed by that. I'm really impressed that they decided to go sort of real world commentary on it. Really impressed that they do all that, but it's still super fun and funny, as Jeff said earlier. And impressed that they had so many of these characters that we know juggled so well.
And a complete departure from the first Captain America
movie. Yes, total mm-hmm. departure.
It's not a reboot, but it feels tonally different and appropriate. And it's two different Captain Americas. You know, a lot of people love the World War II Captain America stories. A lot of people love the, you know, Man Out of Time Captain America stories. So,
and I have a friend who, I loved the first Captain movie, but he hated it, didn't even finish it. And I told him after this, you got to go see this because it's totally different.
I will say that that's not, I don't hate the movie, but it's not my favorite. I'm not necessarily a Cap guy. I'm more of a Thor guy or a Hulk guy. I do think this is a step up from that. Definitely.
One of the things that was interesting that I thought of, during the movie was we actually got to see Cap and Peggy or Steve and Peggy back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Peggy is now old and
they did a good job on that makeup. Well, 'cause at first I was like, is that
right?
Yeah. That was another actress.
But so when the scene opens, they're in the middle of a conversation and I thought, wow, they're not giving us that moment of reunion. Mm-hmm. Like we felt like we earned that moment in the first film, but then they sort of bring it back by having her having Alzheimer's. So she, in the middle of the conversation, forgets and sees Steve again for the first time again. So that was
a punch in the gut.
I still wish we had seen Steve's side of seeing her for the first time, but
yeah, that's a little funny. That's,
but
that's a great point.
I would like to have seen that scene, but I thought the way they did it was at least, I hate to say clever, or something that involves Alzheimer's, but at least it was interesting the way they handled it.
No, I see what you mean, though. That's, yeah.
I thought there was a lot of clever stuff. There's these two gigantic moments of exposition that happen in the movie, and both of them worked really, really well and were so smartly done. The part of the beginning when he goes and sort of watches the movie about himself and wonders,
right.
I thought that was a poignant moment that really functions to give you a whole lot of information that you need about Bucky. And then the other one, when we go into Zola's, you know, computer lair.
I love that whole sequence.
And it's basically just this huge information dump to the audience, but it's so awesome how it's being done that we don't feel like it's just exposition. It's great.
I thought this was so good. So, so good. Even down to the credit sequence at the end, the black and white sort of, as you said, 3 Days at the Condor style.
Yeah.
Credits. It was.
Oh, yeah. That was really nice.
Let's talk about the
mid-credits.
So, first of all, never expect to see Baron von Strucker. And I thought they announced his casting a while ago, but I'd forgotten maybe. But
yeah, they were talking about Avengers 2. He was going to be.
But with a little monocle. And I actually gasped to the point where my girlfriend looked at me like something was wrong. I just love Baron von Strucker. But then we also got our first glimpse of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the mid-credit sequence, which I was not expecting.
I thought because there's a little I don't know if it's a fake out, but it was like, oh, it's a Tesseract scene. They're going to show the Tesseract again. But then they threw that at you, and I totally wasn't expecting to see them, you know, maybe mentioned, you know, maybe see like a file on them or something. But you actually get to see them using their powers, and they're called, you know, referred to as the twins. I was like, wow, this is happening. So many characters.
It was crazy. I was not expecting that. It was very cool. I'm very much looking forward to Avengers 2.
Oh, me too. Oh my gosh.
It's very cool. And then the final credits that we mentioned earlier was Bucky at that same event or the same exhibit, the Smithsonian, narrated by Gary Sinise, investigating his own museum piece, which must be weird for him. But I just thought as a whole, as a package, this was really wonderful. And they're firing on all cylinders, which is crazy.
Yep. Yeah, and it's so satisfying to watch.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Guardians of the Galaxy, with Ant-Man, with Doctor Strange, presumably. Yeah. When you start to get to the more out there elements of the Marvel Universe, the less familiar Avengers elements, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
I don't know. I thought that about the Thor movies, and those seemed to work really well.
I remember Thor being such a huge question mark for me, because I was like, how do you even convey that in the reality that we've set up already in the cinematic universe? And even just down to the portrayal of Thor himself, like, what does Thor sound like? Mm-hmm. I don't even know. But now that's Thor to me.
Yeah. I think that Doctor Strange is actually, it seems to me, a safer bet than even Thor was. I feel like Doctor Strange is going to be an awesome movie. I'm a fan of that character, and I think I think it's a cinematic character, you know. And I think he could integrate into the Avengers world much smoother than, say, Ant-Man would. But we'll see.
So now you mentioned Civil War as a possible endpoint for all this, or at least where they're heading, but the only problem I see with that is there's not really two factions in the Marvel Universe. I mean, the Avengers could fight each other, but there's not like an X-Men and a Fantastic Four to really break up the team. You know what I mean?
Which makes me so crazy. Especially seeing this movie, I walked out of it and had been thinking about the whole Fantastic Four casting and stuff, which is cool. But I wish so much that Fantastic Four could be part of the Marvel family of movies. I want them to be interacting with Reed Richards, and I want that so badly. But yeah,
I would say Fantastic Four, especially, like, at this point, X-Men would be really tricky to try to shoehorn in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
well, you get the angle with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. I mean, right there, you got who's dad.
Yeah, I was nerding out, you know, in the credits, thinking about, like, well, what if they're from another dimension? You know, like they came from the X-Men world, and so that way they're connected.
This dimension called Sony or Fox.
Exactly.
No, I think you could have two factions in Civil War. I mean, in the first Avengers movies, you already saw Tony Stark and Steve Rogers butting heads. You know, there was that wonderful scene where they're kind of fighting over the Tesseract. And I could totally see, you know, you have the Robert Downey Jr. versus Chris Evans in those two factions. And then you have, you know, all these characters that we're supposedly getting now in this Netflix series and stuff. It can be really, really wild.
They're getting there. I could see them doing, not, you know, in the next, you know, 3 years or something, but down the line, I could see that happening.
Well, it's going to be interesting. The great thing is we get so many of these, or so many, two or three a year, and it's so fun. It's so much fun. And they haven't dropped the ball yet, which means I still look forward to everyone so much. This one especially, I was really like, when the trailer for this one hit, I was like, where in my calendar can I write this down? Because I'm so... I want this movie now, but
that's the cool thing, is because I'm excited that, you know, you're really excited about Captain America. I'm really excited about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm excited for all of them, but we each have our own like special corners that we like. Yeah. And that's really cool. And I'm grateful that that's there for, you know, people who love each of these characters, even if that's not entirely my affinity, because I know that it's going to be my turn next.
Well, that's probably the one that's the biggest question mark for me, is Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought the trailer was really fun.
I love the trailer.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't know how that's going to go. I just don't know. I'm not saying it won't. I'm just very, very apprehensive about that particular one.
Hopeful.
That scene in Thor at the end was terrible. I'm still haunted by that scene at the end of Thor, the credits scene.
Oh, with the collector and all that?
Yeah, it looked like Star Trek, which... Mm.
In a not good way.
In a not good way. In like a TV show, Star Trek.
Right.
So that was Captain America: Winter Soldier. I loved it. Jeff loved it. Paul sucks.
I thought it was very good.
I recommend everyone go see it. See it again. I'm going to go see it again.
Me too.
I want to see it with a big – although we saw it in a big packed theater, I want to see it in a big packed audience full of people who – aren't necessarily all in on this stuff. It's always fun to see those audiences.
I'm glad the media screening wasn't in 3D though, I have to say.
Yeah, Paul, how did you see it?
I saw it in 2D. I knew somebody who saw it in 3D in like third row. There was assigned seatings for their screening, and that could not have been fun.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of 3D.
Well, I think there are movies that, you know, that, you know, beg to,
like, Gravity worked really well.
Gravity, it's, right, you know, it's designed for that. You know, even the first Spider-Man or the Amazing Spider-Man, like, because it was shot in 3D.
There's a movie I'm not excited about.
Yeah. But yeah,
I would rather Marvel get – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I would rather Marvel get back Fantastic Four than Spider-Man at this point. I feel like they could do better things with Fantastic Four than even with Spidey, but that's just me.
FF is more of a clean slate at this point too.
Right. Well, it's about to not be, but yeah.
It's about to not be, but if they could get it right now.
Yeah.
That's the only – I think the only downside to the Marvel success is that everyone's trying to emulate it, so you're going to get all these shared universe films that you don't necessarily want.
Exactly. We're going to get all the Sinister Six movies and all that crap. And
but I want to put Jeff on the spot, though. Like, a character that hasn't been announced or rumored that you would like to see in the – that hasn't been spoken for, that you'd like to see in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, my God. That's a good question. What are the characters that haven't been spoken for? There's so many that they're working on. Moon Knight. Moon Knight would be cool. I mean, Moon Knight's basically Batman, right? So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess that could be cool. I guess I'm a fan of Moon Knight. Can I have a Quasar movie?
Yes, like Quasar.
What else?
They're almost all spoken for.
They really are. They're that's what's so incredible. I mean, I want a Power Man Iron Fist movie real bad. And I want it to be set in the 70s.
yeah, I was when I saw Black Dynamite, I was like, that guy should direct it.
what else do I want so bad?
I wonder where they're gonna shoehorn in the Punisher.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder if he's a Spider-Man, like,
proper? No, they got the Punisher back along with Daredevil. Yeah.
That's a good fit for the Netflix series.
Totally. I just wonder if they're going to do that or not, because I can't believe they want to do another Punisher movie.
Yeah, I would say Netflix versus.
Yeah, well, I don't think he needs his own movie. Like, let him be in the universe, but let him be some kind of dude that pops up in places, you know?
I'm scrolling through my Marvel app, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of characters that haven't already been spoken for. Or aren't already owned by another studio.
What about like a female character, like She-Hulk or
She-Hulk
Marvel or something?
I think that's the next one they need to do. They need to get Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, however you want to call her now, into somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that needs to happen. I think it will. But there's not a lot left, Paul. I'm looking through this app, and they're all a movie, TV show.
Yeah, I'll say that's top of my wish list is Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that could be really fun. That could be a really fun film.
And that's also a good bridge between like Iron Man and cosmic stuff, because she can interact with cosmic characters and with the more grounded characters that we've already seen.
True. Okay, cool. Well, that was fun, and I really am excited and happy the movie was great. I'm happy you guys liked it. Mm-hmm. You guys out there listening, you tell us what you thought. BadAshFanboy.com. Find the comment section. Tell us what you thought of the film. I'm guessing from the chatter I've seen online, most people really loved it. I've seen nothing but high praise for this movie all over Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So go there, check those out. Jeff, tell people where they can find your shows.
The easiest way is to follow me on Twitter at Jeff Cannata. That's with two N's and one T. Or check my website, jeffcannata.com.
Cool. And Paul, anything you want to plug?
Fuzzy Typewriter, the podcast about stories, storytellers, art, and artists. You can go to fuzzytypewriter.com. We were talking about Justified episode by episode, and starting soon, Mad Men episode by episode for this final season.
And Paul and I will be back for Spider-Man in May. I think that's next, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Spider-Man, and then when is Guardians of the Galaxy?
Wait, X-Men's in there somewhere.
X-Men's in there, Days of Future Past, and then Guardians. We got some stuff coming out the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So that's we'll another be back.
Movie where, like, I just can't believe we're living in the world where they made Days of Future Past. Like, that, if I could tell 10-year-old me that was going to happen, he would.
Just hold on, little Jeff.
It's going to happen, man.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, we'll see.
So, Paul and I'll be back for a bunch of those shows. Jeff, thank you for coming on for the episode. Josh.
Thanks, so man. Much fun. Thanks, guys.
Keep making that joke. He's never going to come back to these movie shows. So, until the next one, I am Connor.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jeff. And look around. He's a brown now. And the sky is a hazy shade. That you can build them again. Look around, grass is high, the fields are ripe, it's the springtime of my life. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.